Hello, hello everybody. How you doing? We welcome you. It's your pastor, baby, Jamaica Lee Page and Pastor Stephanie Page, the Page Speak. We're going to be talking about sex again tonight, part two. Sex, celibacy, in the church. Come on. Let's talk about
we don't own the rights to this
music, but y'all know what it is.
Don't send Salt and Pepper.
Right.
Salt and Pepper, welcome to come on to the Page to Speak. Talk about that. Amen.
Hey, everybody.
Hey.
We're going to talk about sex tonight.
We're going to talk about sex.
Hey. So if you're coming on, please share this.
About sex, marriage in the church, and we talked about some issues, some things that, you know, needed to be talked about. And in that conversation, there were quite a few people that had, you know, some questions also about sex, but so about sex in the single, sex, you know, masturbation, things that are acceptable, not acceptable, why they're acceptable, why they're not acceptable, so on. So we decided that we should have a conversation, all right? So it's not just Pastor Joe and myself this week, but tonight we have some awesome, wonderful young people who have gone through a journey. We have Miss Tamara. Yay!
Come on now.
Yay, Minister Tamara, awesome woman of God, who right now is a single living holy. Hey.
Come on now.
We have Pastor Robert Daniels, who was a single living holy, but now he's happily married. He walked through that journey for many years, and he's gonna talk about his journey, his struggles, the things he went through. And we also have Miss Brittany
Davis,
who also was a single, walked holy, and now she's also happily married.
She went through the journey.
And when you go through the journey, you can talk about the journey. And we're going to be real tonight talking about the struggles,
talking about the hardship,
sometimes even talking about some trips and some falls, some things we got right, some things we didn't, but also the keeping power of Jesus. So,
come on now.
We're going to talk about it.
Talk about it, baby.
We're going to be real with it.
Yeah.
As the pages speak. We will also go to the Bible. And I'm also going to be keeping an eye on my phone. So if you have questions or if you have comments or things you want to, you know, interject, you know, you can just feel free to just, you know, put it on there. And I'm going to try to keep up with it.
And if there's anybody out there that needs prayer in this area, please reach out to us so we can pray for you.
Amen.
We want to make sure that we get everybody in prayer tonight.
Amen.
Bless the name of the Lord. And even the word if we got to. Amen.
Amen.
Depends on you know what the Lord does. Amen.
He's able.
Amen. Notificate us. Amen.
Notificate.
Hallelujah. So last week we were talking about, you know, sex and marriage and a lot of things that we don't necessarily talk about. The marital bed, you know, being undefiled when it is defiled. Things that sometimes, you know, issues or struggles we have, you know, in marriage, being able to give due benevolence, even sometimes we don't feel like it, understanding what due benevolence is, and being able to keep, you know, the marital, you know, bed holy. Not falling for the okie doke when, you know, people stray, be it men or women, and then they want to try to blame it on, you know, their libido, and their libido not being satisfied in the way they wanted to be satisfied.
So, did we go that far?
Well, I did a nutshell. We're gonna talk about, you know, being sex, because again, sex is everywhere. You're not gonna get away from it. Even kids are being bombarded with sex and sexual images these days.
Yes,
the internet, absolutely. You know, if sex is just a click away. So sex that we're being bombarded with, also remaining celibate, you know, what does God desire for us, and walking in that way, and being single and maintaining celibacy, the difficulties with it, you know, what you went through trying to keep it, as well as some pitfalls and things you went through that may have thrown you off. Amen?
Amen.
So, who want to talk?
Got questions?
Well, one of the things that came up a lot was masturbation. Okay.
I don't want to talk about that.
Because many times when you are single and you're trying not to fornicate, you know, it's like, well, what's wrong with giving yourself some relief, you know, yourself? And There are many different arguments, because, I mean, it was a few years ago, I think it was a Surgeon General that was saying that there's so many sexual diseases out there, you know, just go ahead and masturbate rather than fornicate, you know. So,
okay.
You know, I'm just saying. Wow.
Right? Unless it's on your hands or something.
I don't know, deer tits. Anyway.
okay. All right.
But what I'm going to say is, what I'm saying is that, you know, when we talk about, we don't really talk about masturbation in the church. You have different viewpoints, Evan. You have different arguments.
Yeah.
But again, we also have to go to what the Bible says. So when we're talking about masturbation, we often bring up the scripture in regards to when, was it Obed? Who was it? That was masturbating and the seed, well, he pulled out. He pulled out, and the seed went to the ground, and God was really upset, and he got cursed. And
the Lord offed him.
Yeah, killed
because,
him.
Because
he allowed his seed.
You know, his pull-out methods. I don't believe that God is offing people today for that same activity. That being said, right. I think that to really have a healthy conversation about masturbation, I think you first need to understand what your sexuality is for.
Okay.
So understanding that sex is not something that's designed to be a one-person experience, is something that is designed to be both equally gratifying and beneficial to man and woman. And it's something that you share with your spouse. And when you begin to train yourself to only look for your own gratification, I believe it takes you out of the intended purpose of sex, and you begin to train your sexuality to be something that is self-seeking and self-serving instead of something that is designed to be of service. So I think that goes for men and women alike. As men, I believe our responsibility in the marriage bed is to take care of our spouses, to take care of our wives, and then vice versa. So when that's your mentality, when you understand the purpose of sex, then you begin to understand that doing that, experiencing sex on a by yourself, using it for the selfish means of simply getting your own release, I believe that it begins to take you outside of the sanctified intention behind the gift of sex, and you begin to train yourself to misinterpret its purpose. And you, I know a lot of people that that misinterpretation can carry into your marriage.
Okay, awesome. And that's wonderful to know when you're, you know, you're looking to marriage. But I think a lot of times people want to talk about those times when you by yourself. And because a lot of times sex is utilized as a stress relief.
Call of Duty.
Okay. I'm just saying, a lot of times it's utilized as a stress relief. And knowing, you know, many times, it's, you know, the human body, sometimes there are times when you're feeling a little antsy. Sometimes you may see something on television that makes you feel some type of way, because again, sex is always in your face.
Yes.
And so sometimes even in dealing with loneliness, you know, stress, you have a hard day. Because oftentimes even in marriage, husbands, you know, wives do benevolence because husbands need some stress relief. And so, you know, the wife is there to help.
And wives need
some stress relief as well. So you can't say that you don't experience stress as a single.
Right.
So, yes, sex is meant to be intimate. It's meant to be something beautiful between a husband and a wife.
Yeah.
But what do you do when you antsy, you know.
You got some stress built up.
Has anybody experienced that, you know?
Yeah, I can speak to that. I can speak to the successes and also the failures.
Okay.
So just to be frank, when you aren't focused upwards, or you're trying to focus forwards or to the sides, parallel ways, you make yourself open to excess stress. I say that like this. If I already had a hard day doing whatever I'm doing, I had a hard day at work, I had a hard day dealing with my family, I got cut off on the road, now I got an attitude, or say a best friend just moved away and you feel kind of you feel like there's a void there. Somebody passed away, there's a void there. You had some type of break or split from something, say you lost a job. So all those things, they weigh on you. And in that, it creates a void. So if we are created as relational people, we look for something to, something or somebody to come in and to fill that void, right?
Mm-hmm.
So if you lose your focus, and all you have is yourself, what do you do?
Mm.
And when I've had issues with masturbation, it's because I lost my focus.
Okay.
I felt like I didn't have anybody to relate to whatever my plight was, relate to whatever my thought process was. I felt like I was alone because I didn't have people who were readily at my beck and call, right? So then instead of focusing upwards and receiving whatever it is that I needed to fill the void, because God can be whatever it is that you need to fill the void.
Yes.
I focused on myself.
Okay.
So then you find comfort in yourself.
Mm.
It's not necessarily looking at anything or seeing anything or hearing anything. You find comfort in yourself. Then on the upside, when I've had successes, when I had those times of stress, I literally just looked to God in a way that said, I'm gonna treat him like he's right here with me. We talk about how to practice being in the presence of God and how to practice being close to God and having that intimacy. We say, put a chair in front of you or to the side of you, and then you act like there's somebody there, and you just speak to them.
Yes.
And you create a dialogue, you create a type of intimacy with God like that. So I literally focus on, if I need somebody to talk to, okay, I'm gonna talk to Daddy God, or I'm finna talk to best friend God, or I'm finna talk to husband God, or I'm finna talk to brother God, whatever. I create the who I need, the I am that I need in that time, and I focus myself on him. Or if I need some comfort, for real, I just start worshiping. To fill the void of feeling loneliness, I turn on some worship music, and then I let the atmosphere create itself. I focus in on that. I don't let a stillness or a quietness interrupt me and make me feel like, you know, there's nobody around. Because mm-hmm. when you're in a place where you already feel lonely, and then there's like absolute silence, that makes it worse. So yes. I turn on some worship music so that I don't feel like, you know, I'm alone in my room. Sometimes I will sleep with worship music on. Mm. I slept with a sermon on.
Yeah.
Because I need to hear somebody talking.
Yes.
Because if not, my focus is going to go somewhere else. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to create my own little world, and then next thing you know, I'm in the dumps. Because you're in the dumps. It doesn't feel good to do that. Your flesh feels good, but your soul, your mind don't feel good. And you feel like,
yeah,
okay. And so what? It didn't really do anything for me. But being in his presence and pushing my focus back upwards as opposed to the front of me or to the side of me brings me into a place where I cannot focus on my flesh. I won't even want to focus on my flesh. You know, I won't even feel like, oh, I'm horny right now. No, I don't feel like that. Why? Because right now I'm feeling like I'm in the glory. You know what I'm saying? Or, you know, I don't feel lonely. I feel content.
Yes.
Does that
Amen.
Make sense?
Amen.
When I was single, I had to do a similar thing. It really comes down to, like, your mind. A lot of times in loneliness, your mind will want to, like, grasp, you know, things from the past and hold on to them. And I think that's where masturbation comes into play. A lot when you're single, and like you said, like when you break off from someone or something, your mind wants to hold on to a piece of that. And so talking back to what Tammy was speaking about, you have to be really, really intentional. I would even be so intentional to kind of like keep a tally of the day, of the wins, just to, you know, see, okay, I can do this. Like, through God, I can do this. I can overcome this.
Yeah. Yes.
If I could speak to that, like, again, just like even as a guy, I think, and I'm assuming we will end up talking about this. Number one, the danger of opening that door is that addiction is so easy.
Yeah.
And as a person that dealt with a severe porn addiction in my youth, man, when God finally broke me free of that, like, I'm like, no, I can't get back into that. Like, it was serious to get loose from. And so, with that being said, I knew what I had to do. Just as, you know, as a young man, you know, as men folk, we're vibrant, we're full of energy, as it were. And, you know, sometimes, man, like, you know, I would worship. And I'm like, okay, God, I love you, but like this ain't a that ain't relieving the stress. And so, I would say that oftentimes there are multiple triggers for our sexuality. Mm-hmm. Stress being the trigger. Honestly, you know, sometimes you just wake up and it's just one of them days. You just woke up.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
That's true.
The wind blow.
It just happened.
Like, you ain't
windows
nothing.
Tapping, the tree tapping on the windows the whole night.
It just happened.
I mean.
And so I knew for me, what I had to learn, it was a couple things I needed. I needed to, A, partner with people to help me press through.
Yes.
Because
good.
Prayer
That's
is good.
Yes.
Partnership helps
yes.
even more. So I needed
accountability.
I needed to partner with people to help me push through.
Yep.
I need people that I could talk to if I fail and be like, bruh, pray for me right now. I needed people to help push me through. Another thing I needed was to find other healthier outlets, like, you know, may not be the healthiest outlet, but if I was real frustrated, like I said, you jump on Call of Duty, I lit some people up, and suddenly I feel better. You know what I'm saying? Or I could jump on some 2K and I dunked on somebody, and now I feel a little bit better about myself. You know, that's not the only thing. Sometimes what I would do is I would get so lost in the work of the kingdom that I did not have time for sin. I erased the space that sin occupied. It'd be like, you know what I'm saying? I've been at work. I was at work all day and spent even more time at church after that, helped grandparents or whatever. I'm tired. I'm going to sleep.
I want to go back to something you were saying, because you were saying that it's good to partner with other people. And again, that's accountability. And this is a problem sometimes within the church. The reason why is because many times we don't want to get real with the stuff that we're dealing with. So we go in, we go about the functions of church. We don't want to tell people about the natural things that we're dealing with because we want to be Super Saint Sally, you know, sitting on the second row. Super right. Saint Sally on the yeah. second row. Well, but anyway, we want to be, you know, that's what we want to be. We want to be perceived like this, you know, uber holy person. And then we got a whole nother struggle going on behind the doors.
Yes.
And it's things that, you know, I don't want to talk to the pastor about it, you know, because they'll think about me some a certain way. And too often in within the body of Christ, we don't see one another, you know, knowing that we all go through different struggles yeah. and we all got to be real with it to deal with it so we can help one another through it. But unfortunately, because of the other things that are also abominations in the church, because like I said, there are certain sex outside of marriage, you know, homosexuality, adultery, all those things God calls an abomination, but he also calls abomination gossip and backbiting. Yes. But see, we tend to ignore that, but it's the gossiping and the backbiting that keeps people yes. quiet about the struggles that they're dealing with, especially in regards to sex. So then it makes it difficult to have accountability partners or to partner or even come to your leadership and say, listen, I'm struggling with this. Can you pray with me? So, you know, hey, oh, everybody, we're about to get on a prayer line. There's a spirit of lust that's going around. And, you know, we need to pray one for another because it's a battle that's going on. Or even, okay, you're struggling. You know, okay, everybody game night. Everybody come on, let's game yeah, night. Let's just get together. Let's do something yeah. else in fellowship and coming together in life. You know, because again, this walk has to be a life walk. It's yes. not just a Sunday walk. It should encompass your whole life. But again, that comes about and it's easier to have accountability when it's a relationship amongst the people of God that you know you can look to one another. You ain't got to worry about them judging you. You don't have to worry about them gossiping about you. You don't have to worry about them tearing you down behind your back, you right. know, because, oh, she's singing in the choir. Hey, she was doing this. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
It's like, you know, yeah, well, you know, yeah, she's singing in the choir. No, she ain't going to get sat down either. Because if I go through everybody, yeah, everybody got something that they're dealing with. And so we just got to be real with it. Mm-hmm. So the thing is, many times singles are struggling in silence.
Yeah.
And it's not a lot of accountability, you know, partnering going on because it's a lot of hiding. So, you know, so what are some things that you did to, you know, to try to, you know, make sure that, you know.
Yeah, we need, okay.
What are some things that, you know, you did to try to, you know, make sure or even, did, you know, how did you all establish partnerships or accountability partners?
For me, it helped that I had three people that were close to me. I had no idea, you know, that they were going through some of the same things and struggling with some of the same things. I didn't know until they were bold enough, you know, to stand up and say, like, hey, this is what I was going through. God delivered me. And so I was able to reach out to them in private because of their transparency and say, hey, I'm going through the same thing. Can you help me? And unfortunately, it wasn't a culture where, you know, I could have came, you know, and said, hey, I'm going through this to everybody. But I did find safe spaces to talk to yes. those people about. And that's the major thing is having a safe space
yes.
where they can be accountable and pray with you. And like you said, just go out. Like, it's all relational.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you're not lacking in your platonic relationships, 9 times out of 10, you're not going to struggle mm-hmm. as much. Like, you might still struggle. But if you have, like, that foundation in those platonic relationships, that can fill a void, too.
And the Bible talks about it's not good for man to be alone.
Yeah, right.
So you could just about take what y'all said and really equate that and understood why he made somebody for him. It was not, it's not a good thing. Sometimes when you're by yourself, stuff start talking. You know, familiar spirits, generational situations, they start talking and you start remembering, especially with a lot of the little soul ties, we call them soul ties and little connections
oh, yeah.
that we have. Oh, you start remembering the electrifying situations.
Hey,
amen.
Hey, what you doing? I'm bored.
Right.
I'm bored. What you doing?
And the mind is so powerful, you actually, and I don't know about y'all, but the mind is so powerful that pictures, man, just start coming because that's what happens. These pictures start playing in your mind and then it's almost like it becomes real. And then you end up doing some things that you normally wouldn't do. And I love what you said about having a safe place because that is the problem in the body, that we don't have safe places. You gotta almost seek through the sea of people to find a safe person that can relate with your plight and be able to handle what you're giving them without trying to expose you, without trying to negatively put you on blast. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. You got to search through all of that just to find some people who are saying, okay, I'm good with that. I understand what you're going through. This is where I'm going. This is where I'm at now. So let's hang out and keep ourselves out of trouble together. Mm-hmm. Amen. Go ahead.
I want to say real just quick with the Facebook comments. We had Sister Lisa was saying, Lisa. I hope I'm pronouncing your name right, sis. Love you. But it says young women are not valuing themselves and they're pressured to fit in being sexual. Mm. And see, and this is also a problem because when you don't have a safe place within the church and the people who you know are not going to judge you are the people outside the church.
Come on, man.
And they're doing whatever they want to do. It's easy for you to get caught up in the same stuff, especially if you don't have someplace safe. Someone's going to say, nah, sis, you don't need to do that. If all your friends say, come on, let's go, let's pop it, pop it. Oh, hey, you holler at you, want me to hook you up? If that's what you got going on, it's much easier.
I've never seen you dance like that. Come on, now.
Baby, honey. Okay, hey. Anyway. Anyway, but the thing is, that's another reason, like I said, you have to have a safe place because there is a lot of pressure for people to fit in because everybody doing it.
Yeah.
Everybody doing it. And if you say you're not, you're actually the oddball.
Ooh,
you know, you're the oddball if you say, no, I'm saving myself to marriage. What? Girl, you need to experience it before you don't even know what you're missing.
You need to check out the goods.
You need to test it out before you know.
Right.
You look up with
test
that.
Right.
You know, bad advice.
Bad advice.
Terrible. That's bad advice. Okay? Bad advice. So any singles out there, you know, if your friend's telling you, no, you need to get it in, bad advice.
Or you need to test drive, bad advice.
Bad advice, okay? And I just want to encourage you, find some accountability partners. Also, Sarah Daniels, like accountability is key.
Amen.
It is key to have someone that's going to, you know, uphold you in regards to, you know, holiness. And also, this is another thing. When someone is telling you, you know, honey, be holy, they're also telling you that you're able to be holy.
Come on, man.
Jesus said, be holy because I am holy. Yes. He's giving you his Holy Spirit to allow you to do that. So again, your accountability partners is not like, oh, they're trying to hold me down. They're trying to make me be somebody I'm not. No, they're speaking to you who God says you are able to be and what God says you're able to do. So don't get it twisted when people are telling you to do the right thing. It's not about them judging you. It's just they actually see you or what God has for you, sometimes even more than you do.
Come on, man.
Glory to God.
Robert
wanted
to say a few words.
Go ahead, Robert. Amen. So this is just a scripture text that I think is good for not just this conversation that we're having just about masturbation, but period, about doing anything that God calls you to do that is opposite to what the world has told us is okay to do. In the book of Luke chapter 18, verse 27, Jesus is talking to his disciples. And this is after he had told him a lesson about the rich man and what it costs for you as a person that have obtained everything in earth, how much harder it is to humble yourself to get into heaven. Mm. It's possible. And so then the disciples said, well, heck, man, if you got to humble yourself that much, then who can possibly do this thing that you're asking us to do? Mm. And his response to them was this. He said, the things which are impossible with man are possible with God.
Yes.
And so as sort of a platform or a foundational principle to everything that we're talking about today, you can by yourself, no, you cannot do it. But with God, you can do whatever he's asking you to do.
And in that same vein, let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And I'm going 13. He says, there hath no temptation taking you, but such as is common to man. Mm-hmm. But God is faithful, mm-hmm. who would not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, mm-hmm. but will with the temptation also make a way of escape, that you may be able to bear it.
Amen. That's good stuff. And that, with that being said, that God is not going to leave you hanging in the balance. And then, you know, sometimes we get so ashamed in some of the things that we go with. We don't want to even turn to God after the act. You know, we live it with the guilt and the shame. We have to almost like pull ourselves and drag ourselves for repentance, because repentance in the church has been such a dirty word to a lot of people. You're not saying that. I'm just saying, as far as, you know, repentance means I'm guilty. I'm, you know, I'm jacked up or whatever. They may think of how repentance is.
Condemnation.
And then if you're repenting, people looking at you in judgment. That's why I like the way we are. We don't look at you as, we don't judge you for what you've been through. That's not our job. It's really our job is to encourage you and get you past that. Because the Holy Spirit is there to equip you and train you into how to live this life and to empower you.
Yes.
Now, there's some things that we may trespass against. You know, if somebody's going through this situation or any situation, I implore you to draw from the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit is always speaking to us. Mm-hmm. I mean, what the contrary to what most people think, that the Holy Spirit is speaking and trying to get you to that place of perfection, even though we live our lives trying to stretch for that, stretch for the mark, press for the mark. But we have to get to the point and understand who's on the inside of us. And it's hard sometimes when our flesh is saying something, right? And then the spirit is saying something totally different. You know, they bucking heads, right?
Yeah.
The spirit and the flesh is enemies. So you got to understand, you got to get on the right side. Amen. Not saying that, you know, like he said, with God, all things are possible. So, go ahead.
Amen, because I just want to get with that, and there's also going to be another comment here that we have on Facebook. Because just what you were saying, you know, many times, like I said, when you're single and sex comes up, there's a temptation, and we were talking about before, friends that will tell you, you know, get it in, or they'll tell you, you know, girl, just handle your business, and then we have Sister Lynette, she's saying, oh, they'll tell you to get a vibrator.
Oh, okay. Come on.
The thing is, because all of it is to satisfy the hunger. And the thing is, and I'm going to tell you, the flesh does get hungry. We just need to get real. Because just like when you don't eat for like when you fasting and you be killer hungry.
Yes.
And you be like irritable because you're hungry. Because
you
start
smelling chicken that ain't even cooking.
Yeah, okay. Because your flesh wants what it wants. And then it starts acting up. Well, it's the same thing, especially if you've opened yourself up to experience it.
Yes.
Then when you shut it down or determine that you're going to be celibate, you've got to beat that flesh into subjection. Because it's like a craving that will come upon you, you know, that desires more. And that craving, sometimes people feel as though it's unbearable, because it's like, it'll make you grumpy, it'll make you just snap at people, you know, because you have that hunger. But the thing is, we are not slaves to the flesh. So even if the flesh wants it, we are now slaves to the spirit, and we have to bring that flesh under subjection. So again, you'll get some advice, girl, you better get a vibrator, or honey, you just use your hand and do what you gotta do, and all those things. But no, God wants to build you up, to give you what you need to be able to bring your flesh under subjection so that your spirit is even, you know, stronger.
Yeah.
Laramie was saying, yeah, test driving will get you a 15-year-old child.
Come on, man. All right.
you know, that is absolutely true.
That's right.
Because it's very, very true. You know, people tell you, you have test drive, get it in, so on and so forth. And, you know, and then you'll wind up with a child. And then, wait a minute. If people tell you to get out there and test drive it, you'll wind up with a child. They were doing the same thing you were doing, didn't get pregnant, but then you get judged.
Come on now.
And then you have churches that if you have a child on the wet, like, they don't want to bless your child.
They don't want to baptize your child.
They don't want to, you know what I'm saying? They want to make you sit over to the side. You know, we'll do a special service for you because you got that child out of wedlock. But everybody else in the pews, they shacking over there. They doing this over here, but they don't have to sit in a special section. They ain't got to go to a different altar. And it's not the child. It's not the child's fault. No. The sin was in the fornication.
Yes.
So you got all these people fornicating. But no, because I'm pretty, so now you look down on me.
Right.
Or I'm a piranha. Or I'm a bad Christian because you got caught up in it. The devil is a liar.
Yes.
Okay? No. You know, you may have fallen and you got a child.
Come on.
Amen. So now raise the child in the Lord.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Yes. Raise the child in the Lord, and don't treat the child like they're, you know, something to be ashamed of,
or
they're a mistake. You raise them up in the Lord, but we also have to take off that judgmental spirit that if you trip and fall, that you have to carry that way. Jesus don't do that to us, so why do Christians do it to one another?
My wife and I were just talking about this the other day. we only have a handful of times that Jesus addressed people directly mm-hmm. about their sexual promiscuity. Mm. And on two of those occasions, there were both women who were either being ostracized or openly persecuted because they had been found out. Mm. Not that they were the only people that were doing it, but they had got found out. And his response to both of those women was grace. His response to the woman at the well was to immediately activate her and use her to evangelize a whole city. Yeah. His response to the woman that was caught in the act of adultery was to forgive her and free her and empower her all at the same time.
Yes.
So I just say all that to say, if you are one that is struggling with sexual sin, know that Christ's response to you is not to browbeat you, is not to defeat you, is not to curse you, is not to maim you, is not to make you a pariah. His response to you is to free you, is to empower you, is to encourage you and use you for his glory.
Amen. Come on now.
And that goes with, okay, so then we have December, who put a comment, childhood or young adult trauma may be the reason behind indulging in reckless sexual behavior.
Facts.
That's facts, okay?
Yeah.
And in order to fill voids, feeling loved, wanted, et cetera, being neglected, unprotected, feeling like less than, not having that emotional love from our earthly father, looking for love and sex only to be left empty. All of these things are facts and reasons why people sometimes fall into sexual promiscuity. Because again, they on TV, they call it, oh, we're going to be making love. And the person right. don't even love the person, ain't married to the person. Right. Oh, but we're making love. It was interesting.
We just met.
Yeah, just met. Oh, let's hey, go make love.
You know,
and it's...
I could go there.
What was that song by 50?
Finding
the club.
Mama's in the club. You know,
I ain't making love. Whatever. But the fact of the matter is, it's a shame. Yeah. But that's really what's going on. And people lie and say, "Oh, we making love." No, baby, no, we making love. You're satisfying your lust right now, and you're overtaken by lust. And lust, when you give way to it,
right.
you know, it leads you into sin. Yeah. Okay, it is what it is. But again, God has not. You have a way of escape. You know, and the beautiful, even the beauty about what you said, even with those that were caught up in sexual sin, God wanted to empower them. Yeah. Again, neither do I condemn you. Go your way, get up, go your way and sin no more. Yeah. You know, and God, he's the same God yesterday, today, and forever. But the problem is that we don't necessarily take on the mind of Christ. Then when someone has fallen, why? What's going on? What's in your mind? Are you looking for love? Do you not feel value? Let me value you. Let me show you the love that God has for you. Let me love you and show you who God says you are. Let me speak that into your life. Let me love you right where you are. I don't need you to put me on a pedestal, honey. I want to pull you up to right where I am. Let's walk together in this thing so that we can all be who it is that God has purposed for us to be. Yeah. And not ignore it, you know, not ignore the promiscuity that's going on, but be real with it so you can deal with it. What's behind it? What's really going on? Are you lonely? Are you hurt? Have you been traumatized? Have you been awakened to it too early? Was it molestation?
Right.
What's going on? Did you start, you know, because again, I'll talk about myself. I was introduced to pornography when I was 8 years old and then was molested when I was 9. So, you know, I was an overly sexualized person. But God broke me out of that, and he kept me for 12 years until my husband came, okay? But it had to overcome, you know, the things that, you know, the world tried to institute. And right now in this world, there's a lot of molestation that people don't even speak about, even in the church. And what is that doing, even the children who are then growing up, and, you know, they have things awakened, and then we just say, don't do it. Honey, we got to bring them some healing. We got deliverance, baby. Set the captives free, baby. Yeah. Heal those that are bruised, baby. What did Jesus do? Yeah. Didn't he condemn them? He set them free to empower them. So
I remember when I was like a young guy and I was playing with some kids in the street, and we found books back in the day. It was called Deep Throat back in the day. It was an old pornographic magazine. And we were looking at it. I think at that particular time, they kind of let me know what that was all about. I didn't know nothing about that. And you would stumble upon stuff. Like even, you know, that stuff, even if you haven't committed the actual thing as a child, it opens up a Pandora's box. A Pandora's box that causes us to start imagining, and those images come in your head. Now you're dealing with it. Now you see the world a little different. It's almost like your eyes are open in the wrong type of way.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So you find yourself in this place where now you know what that's all about, and now everybody's talking about it. Because I know that my experiences were through hearing people in the street talk about it. And what their experience was, and then it was almost like a notch on the belt. If you got that same experience, or you tried to go after that, and everybody wanted to pat you on the back, and then once you've been opened up, once that experience happens, mm-hmm. now you open up to a whole nother level now.
Yes.
Because you did it outside of the institution of marriage. Because most people, young people, don't even understand how powerful that sexual addiction can be. It can be, and they don't know. They thinking like, you know, with the music today, they talking about it like, you know, they graphic with it. Mm-hmm. Very graphic. So the kids are not just going on the internet. They hearing it in the music. You know what I'm saying? They seeing videos, sexual images on the video. So if you start talking about it, it's so much everywhere, you got to be almost up under a rock not to catch it. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? And I think that, like, what we're doing tonight is so much. Don't be afraid to speak to your children.
Please speak to your children.
Speak to your kids. Talk to your children. That is very, very, especially right now, and especially with all the things that's going on, because your kids can be going through something and you ain't speaking to them, and they in the room with the door shut. You know what I'm saying? On the computer for a whole bunch of hours. You don't know what's going on unless you're actively in their life. So you could talk about that. My mother set me down. I ain't going to say my mama's name, amen, because I always put on the blast all the time.
Ass.
I know my mama.
Hey, mama.
She told me one day about the birds and the bees. And the first thing she asked me was, are you having sex? Yeah. You know how awkward that was? I'm like, no, mama. And she had a way of looking at me and saying, you lying. Right? So we had the conversation and started talking about it. You know what I'm saying? She didn't condemn me. She didn't make me feel bad about it. But she also gave me the pros and cons. So be active in talking to your children. Amen.
Amen.
Oh. I was about to open up a whole can of worms. So I don't know if you want to.
Okay, yeah, I want to talk some things on. That's want to include our Facebook family.
Yeah.
Alyssa says it will pull you into doing something to satisfy thirst when you know it's wrong, or with a person that you know who is wrong with you and
again,
wrong for you. That's sexual. And we have Gwen Dawson says the flesh will desire sex. She says, but I'm a living witness that calling on the Holy Spirit works. I've heard people say a voice or something told me. I say the voice is something like the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, you know, when you're going through the temptation, call on the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Saray says, sometimes you will have to declare over your body that it will do and what it will not do, and acknowledge your humanity in the same breath. Sex drive, you came from God and are a good thing in the right in the right context. And because you are from him, I will not allow you to get in the driver's seat and drive this body. I command you to come under the subjection of the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. She says that breaks the shame and power of lust.
Come on
that
now.
Is so
come on
good.
Now, Saray.
Amen. Amen, Saray.
That's my wife.
Yes. we have Alisa also saying, young women, not knowing who they are, not respecting yourself, using sexuality to be manipulated yourself, putting yourself in harm's way. She said, I never knew it was a medical classification of not being loved and the love people go through to feel love with reckless sexual behavior.
You know what, and then I think about that when you say about women, the value situation. When you're seeing all these videos of women dancing, with the, you know, the clothes on and all that, and you thinking that that's the way to do that or the way to draw somebody to you. You don't recognize it. A lot of people say it's not so. But when, what you put out is what you're going to draw in. You know what I'm saying? But that's a whole nother subject. But yeah.
And not just women, but men.
Yes, yes, yes.
Valuing that man. Your body is valuable.
Yes.
Your sexuality
is
valuable. You are valuable.
Yes.
Where you plant your seed
matters.
Yeah, come on
it
now.
Matters where you plant your seed.
Yes.
This idea that women need to be holy and that men don't need to be disciplined or holy
it's a lie.
And it's that same lie that has caused familial trauma for generations after generations after generations. Because the women were told that they need to be at home and they need to be faithful, but it wasn't a necessity for the man to honor his wife in his home and at the same time honor his children. How can you then teach your children to honor themselves, to honor their mother, but you dishonor her by taking what belongs to her out there in the streets? It's a lie. You have to honor your body. You have to honor your vow to God. You have to honor your seed and keep it where it belongs. And it's a lie that the enemy's been telling us as men for too long.
That your
sexual prowess is what establishes your masculinity, affirms your masculinity. And the only way to get that affirmed is to go all over the place. Let me tell you something. Ain't but two women ever had me, one mistake, and my wife. And I'm a man's man. All right,
amen.
And I didn't need, and it's not my sexuality that reaffirmed that.
Sure.
So I just want to point that out. We often talk about women valuing your bodies and women valuing yourself. It's the same trauma that happens with young men. They get exposed too young.
Yes.
They hear lies way too young. They're encouraged way too young, and they're traumatized way too young. And because they're taught not to cry about it or that it's not a problem, they internalize it and make it part of their nature. But that's not what God built you to be.
Come on now.
Amen.
And then, you know, with that, what you're saying about men is that it's a lot of brothers out here that regret that they planted the seed in the wrong ground.
Say that one more time.
There's a lot of brothers who regret that they planted the seed in the wrong ground, okay? And a lot of times, like you said, it's so key to understand, see, God has somebody for you, the right place to plant the seed.
Right.
Okay? So you can get a good return and not a bad one, right? Mm. Nothing that causes you to be stuck in a situation that you really don't want to be in no more because you tried to have fun real quick. And now you got 18 to 20 some years of that seed. You understand what I'm saying? And I'm not trying to, you know, this, but for somebody out there that, you know, and don't let that be the thing that keeps you bound to also.
Right.
Do that make sense? I'm gonna sound a little, you know.
I want to read a scripture because again, the pages speak.
Amen.
It says in 1 Peter 2:11, beloved, I implore you as alien, and I'm reading from the Amplified, as aliens and strangers and exiles in this world, this world is not our home, hallelujah, to abstain from sexual urges, the evil desires, the passions of the flesh, your lower nature, that wage war against your soul. That wage war against your soul. Again, we know that the flesh and the spirit are enmity one with another. And the battle is over your soul, which is your will, your mind, your emotions. And when you give in to the flesh, your will, your mind, and emotions then come under bondage to the flesh and your lower urges that they not should not be under subjection to, which is why you have issues where people also get involved in relationships, abusive. And they can't get out.
Right.
There's even been murders, all kinds of hurt, destruction come about because you've made these what we call soul ties through sexual relations that are not ordained, condoned, established, or approved of by God. And I don't think a lot of times we understand, and I wasn't going to go in this, we only got a few more minutes, but we don't understand the spiritual impact of not remaining celibate and single. There's a spiritual impact when you don't remain celibate and single, because you're opening yourself up to many things that a lot of times you do not even want. Again, your mind, your will, and your emotions. So again, it's warring against your mind, your will, and emotions. I I'll just speak on it. I have been really, really angry after I got into a relationship and it didn't go the way that it was supposed to go. Mm-hmm. I have been depressed getting into situations that I was not supposed to get into. Been in situations where there were violent situations when you're like, oh, I'm ready to go. And that person then got too hooked in and then they don't want to let you go. If I can't have you, can't nobody have you kind of thing. Nobody needs to be in that situation. And the way not to get in that situation
is not doing it in the first place.
Is to remain celibate and to allow the Holy Spirit to do what the Holy Spirit is going to do, which is keep you. He's going to keep you. And the thing is, God is not telling you to flee fornication and to flee from sexual lust to try to keep you from something.
Right.
He wants to, he knows the plans he has for you.
Protection.
And they are good. It's all about protection. Mm-hmm. Protecting you from those things that, that the enemy seeks to use you harm. Now, I'm not saying, you know, that if you, let's say you get into a situation, you get pregnant, the baby evil. No, the baby ain't evil.
Exactly.
That ain't
Amen.
It, okay?
Amen.
The baby's not evil. The fact of the matter is you got into a situation because you followed after the lust of your flesh. You followed after that nature,
exactly.
Which is literally fighting against your spirit. So in everything that God is doing, is so that you can come up to a whole nother level in Christ, in your power. In your authority, in your ability to do the things that God, he knows the plans, and all the plans he has for you are good. Amen.
If we could use these last few seconds,
yes.
Is it okay, like, if everybody kind of gives a 2 to 5 minute?
We're going
to
do that. Good.
No, sorry. Can we do a, like, a 2 to 5 minute, just give your testimony real quick of celibacy, if you can condense it to 2 to 5 minutes, because I know we're long on time, but. I think if they heard, they say the Bible says overcome by word of Lamb, the
yes,
blood of the Lamb, and the
word of
our testimony.
So
we want you all to hear the testimony of successful celibacy. So, Ma, you want to start? Because you had a good long run.
Oh, I really. Well, yeah. Well, I'll say this really, really quickly. Again, I was awakened to sin at a very, very young age. I said, you know, again, pornography when I was 8 and molested when I was like 9 and 10 years old. But, you know, my experience with sex was actually a little different because it caused me to be hardened. I was hardened to real love because, again, it was manipulated. Sex was manipulated into calling it love. And then I would see people that would get in relationships when they were 15 and 16 and they give up, you know, their virginity to people and then they get dogged. And I was like, okay, no, I'm going to use a dude. I'm going to get, you know, I'm going to have sex with somebody I ain't never going to see no more. I'm going to hit it, get what I want to do because I just want to be done with this. And I literally gave away my chastity, my purity to keep from being what I thought was weaker, you know. But what that did is it caused me to become very hard. It caused me to be a, you know, whereas I dogged a lot of men and I broke a lot of hearts because I refused to allow myself to love. And it was like a transaction. I would use my body as a transaction to get what I wanted because that's what I'd been programmed to do. And I could not fully love people. And the thing is, that's exactly what God wanted me to be. You know, I'm a loving person. I love everybody and would give my all for anybody.
Yeah.
But the enemy wanted to shut that down in me. So that I would be hardened and I would be cold. And again, the sex did that. And I would use sex, and I got in relationships, and I, you know, got what I wanted. And then one day, God melted me. He took away the coldness that was in my heart. And he led me into a relationship with him, and he showed me what real love was. And that, you know, what sex was really supposed to be for. And at that point, I stopped. I'm like, you know what? I'm not going to use my body to manipulate. I'm not going to use my body to get what I want. That's not what it's for. And I'm not going to do this again until I'm in love and it's the person that God has chosen for me. So at that point, I then chose to become celibate, and I was celibate until I met my husband, Joe. And it was very, it was 12 years. And it was very interesting, even with that, because I asked God to keep me. And he kept me to the point where I was kept. I wasn't cold, but I was kept. But then when I met Pastor Joe, he set me free to love. And it was very interesting because I tell people it was so different with my husband because we did not have relations. But he kissed me very softly on my lips. And I felt a sensation and a love and a warmth and a connection like I'd never, ever, ever felt before in my life. And even to this day, you know, it's not about relations. He'll kiss me on my forehead. I'm like, what? You know, it's just something totally different because this is what was ordained.
Show you right.
This was something that was ordained by God. And it's a spiritual connection. It's not just the physical. It's the physical and the spiritual connection. Amen. And that spiritual connection is not only there when it's intercourse, but it's there even from a touch, from a peck on the forehead, from a quick kiss on the lips. And it just, it's a whole nother connection to the point where we are one, which is what God purposed. Who, you know, what man has brought us together, we are now one with another. Whereas, you know, it's a whole nother level, you know. And it doesn't bring with it anger or jealousy or fear. None of those things come with this. It's none of those things come with this, where all that was with the others. But none of those things come with this relationship because it was God's way.
That was 24 minutes.
For me, I was exposed to pornography at an early age, and so that opened up a door in itself. And then when I was growing up, I was very quiet. My family is very loud, and I was the quiet one. I'm an observer. I'll sit back and I'll observe. But so I felt misunderstood by my family. So that opened up the door to loneliness. And so couple that with being exposed to pornography at an early age, I struggled with masturbation, I think as young as probably 9 years old. And so then getting to high school, I was a tomboy, I was a basketball player, so I had really no desire to have sexual intercourse. So I held on to my virginity until I was 17 and I got to college. And like Pastor Stephanie was saying, my friends, like, well, just go ahead and experience it. You grown now, you in college. So I've had three sexual partners, one including my husband. But the first two, that opened up a soul tie. And the soul tie was so bad that I said, I don't even, like, I'm good. I'm good on sex. So I was celibate for 8 years up until the point where I married my husband. This past year, I still struggle with masturbation off and on, but the thing that broke it, I think for sure, was going on a fast. I fasted, I think, for 40 days just to part of my old ministry, and it broke. Like, I was telling my friends, like this thing, like, really broke. Like, I don't know how it happened, but it broke. So, yeah, the Holy Spirit. But no, even knowing that I had a call in my life. I just want people to know that God is so gracious, and like, yes. Rob was saying, like, God loves you. Like, he's not some big God in the sky that's just like, you're a terrible person. You shouldn't be doing, like, no, like, the only experiences that I've had with God are love, and love has literally, like, drawn me, like, closer to him, so.
Amen. Amen. I think I'm hearing a common theme here, because I also think that that's the same thing that all of you are dealing with. But I too was exposed to pornography when I was really young. And, you know, I was touched wrongly when I was younger. And so that kind of made me, like, sexual, very, very, I was already sexually curious naturally. And that kind of took it to another level. But by the grace of God, like, I got saved when I was young, like, for real saved, I think. Like around 15, 16 years old, the Holy Spirit, like God started like actively talking to me. And so even then, like I knew who God was. And so in the place of worship, I developed a love for God. So I wanted to please him. And I still struggle with masturbation and pornography, like from 11, 12 years old, straight through to my early 20s. And it was just like a consistent struggle. And then while in college, you know, met a young lady, didn't really love her, but, you know, I said I did to get what I needed, get what I wanted. Even after, you know, like was in that relationship for a minute, then when I was ready to end it, I was like, okay, I got what I came for in essence, and I'm ready to go now. I literally couldn't, like, I couldn't step away. Like, I think I broke up with her like 4 times, you know. It was just, it was like unnecessary. And then God broke me out of that, and then, you know, was celibate. What was that, 22 to marriage, which, last year, 28. So I had a 6-year run of celibacy, and that's as a man. And, you know, my testimony is much like Brittany's, you know, like my struggle with pornography and masturbation that lasted for a long time. And it wasn't, and I just want to encourage somebody this too, marriage didn't break that off of me. And I think oftentimes we feel that our lust will be healed within marriage, and it's not your spouse's responsibility to heal your lust.
That's
something that God himself has to do.
Yes.
And it's something that God will do. I'm a living witness. God will break it up off of you. And he does it, honestly, just by loving the heck out of you.
Yes.
He does it by loving the heck out of you. And I think there's a common theme here. I got to stop talking, but I believe that sex is a beautiful thing. It's intended for marriage, and it's purified by God's presence. And when you get into his presence prior to marriage, it will purify your sex.
Yes. Yes. Come on, man. Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen.
So my testimony is a little similar and a little different. So, like mostly everybody on the panel already said, I was exposed to pornography when I was young too. I can't remember exactly what age I was, but it was before, I know it was before I was 9. I went upstairs in my parents' bedroom and the TV was off. I turned the TV on. Now see, okay, I gotta go back. I was used to sleeping in my mom's bed. My daddy passed when I was 5. So my whole life, I always slept with my parents. Like my whole life. I didn't get my own room until my mom and my stepdaddy, he came and moved in with us. So this is when he was living with us. I go upstairs like it's my domain, because it was. Mm-hmm. I go upstairs, I go up to turn the TV on, it was off, and I see this image on pause. I said, what that? What is that? What are they doing? What is that? Mm-hmm. And I didn't realize what I was looking at, but it was a porn tape in the VCR, and it was on pause. So I was like, oh, I just kindly turned the TV off and went right back downstairs. That was kind of like the introduction. I was never like heavily into pornography when I was young. But I did have a couple of cousins who were curious, and they used to like come at the Let's Play house, and then they would like touch me. And it never got to be something that was too crazy, but that it was a thing, and it opened up a curiosity in a way. Now, I was saved when I was really, really young. Now, before I experienced Holy Ghost, I grew up in church. But I had this curiosity about God for myself, where I was like, even at a young age, whatever the preacher was talking about, I would go and look in the Bible myself to make sure that they was quoting the scripture right. You know what I'm saying? Like, I was really intrigued by worship. So I had this curiosity about God that was my main thing. And it opened up a doorway for me to like just really surrender to God. I was hearing him audibly. Like, not just within myself, I was hearing him audibly. Mm-hmm. Like how you would hear something on the radio speaking to me before I even received Holy Ghost. And I was like, wow, oh my gosh. So I was a teenager in high school. Everybody already kind of associated me as being like a church girl. I didn't know what that meant. Because growing up in holiness, hallelujah, the PAW,
yes.
It's kind of weird for me to say. Like, I really wasn't cognizant of the fact that there was such thing as church girls, because I never paid attention to that type of culture when I was there. But it was a thing. And so I was really focused on God. And I also have to say this, I had a really high sense of self-esteem growing up. I got that from a household. I got that from it was just innate, right? So I had a lot of affirmation about who I was and what I was growing up. So it's not like I was without that. So I'm saying all that to say, when I experienced sex was when I experienced a great loss, a second great loss in my life. First, my father passed when I was young. That was a great loss, but I was too young to really internalize what the separation would be like. My grandmother passed when I was 24. I just turned 24, and like, 2 weeks later, my grandmother passed. She lived with us. We took care of her. I took care of her. I had my mama take care of her until she died. Mm-hmm. So it was really, it was like hard because my grandmother and our family was our covering, right? So my grandmother passed. And then that was in January of that year. In April, my mom almost died. Mm-hmm. Like, I had to resuscitate her. Mm-hmm. She almost died. Glory to God, she fine now. But I had this traumatic experience. Also, my uncle died in a fire a week after my grandmother passed. And he didn't even know that she was gone yet. Mm-hmm. We were like trying to wait to tell him, and we never got a chance to. So it was like all this traumatic stuff going on. But it was the way of the passing of my grandmother that really, it just tore my world apart. I remember telling God, like, if you ever take my grandma before I get old, I don't know what I'm gonna do. Mm. I set that out of my mouth. Mm. And lo and behold, when my grandmother left this earth, I did not know what to do with myself. I was 24. I was like, okay, what are we doing? I never had this sense of like I had to accomplish a certain thing before a certain time, but all of a sudden I was having a quarter life crisis. I was almost turning 25. I was about to have a quarter life crisis. I was like, I feel like as soon as I turn 25, I'm gonna have like a midlife crisis. So I was having all these feelings, and I was vocalizing what my feelings were. And one night I went to a bonfire party with my friends. Some guy was there. I was not attracted to this guy whatsoever, but I ended up sleeping with him. But I was hurt, so I was looking for something, mm-hmm. Okay? I felt like I lost my covering and I needed something to cover me. Mm-hmm. And that was my introduction to sex. So I can attest to sleeping with somebody, and the next day, now I'm not a drinker. I never got drunk. I used to drink, but I'm saying like I'm not a drinker like I mm-hmm. got drunk. But I felt like I was drunk. I said, what is this? Mm. And mind you, when this happened, I didn't have like not one touch of nobody's brew, not one touch of nobody's liquor, nothing. So I'm like, what is this? So I know what that is real. Mm. You lay down with somebody, you lay down with a dog, you wake up with fleas, that's real. Mm. So if you feeling like you're a little drunk, you feeling like your thoughts is a little jumbled, you're feeling like you're a little angry, mm. you might want to check and see where you've been, mm. okay? Okay, so I say all that to say, I was going through a time in my life where I started to break down in my identity. I started to break down in what I thought my comfort was and where I thought not to say I thought my grandmother was my help, but a beacon. I felt like I did not have that anymore. I felt like there was nobody in my life, in my familial life, that I could go to when I needed prayer. I did not have the type of relationship with my pastor at the time where I felt comfortable going to them about anything, if I'm quite frank. I did not even feel comfortable receiving from them as my pastor, if I'm honest. So if I didn't have that at home and I didn't have that at my church home, what I was looking for something. Mm-hmm. So I got to this place where, and it was not like I was talking to my friends about this for real. Because at the time, I had a group of friends that we grew up together. We grew up experiencing and really finding out who God was together. You know, coming into relationship with God together. But we weren't together. It was a little superficial. So I couldn't go to them. I didn't feel comfortable with them. So it took me really breaking it down with God. At the time, God was my brother, my homie God. I've been through some different levels of relationship with God. So at the time, that was my homie God. That was best friend God. So he really had to snatch me up and reiterate who I was and that he was with me and that I wasn't alone and that I was covered. He had to reestablish the fact that I had done I've done a lot of stuff in my life and I don't talk about it. So people, you know, kind of get surprised when they find out all the things that I've accomplished or whatever, because I don't feel like it's much. Not from a false humility type of thing, but I just feel like, oh, that's regular. You know, that's just me. That's just how I grew up. So God had to show me, like, those things are special. That's something other people didn't have a chance to do. You know this, you know that, you are this, you are that. you can, you know, just showing me what my abilities were, showing me where my heart was, showing me how I love people, showing me the importance of the fact that I got a chance to have the things that I had and the blessing of it, as opposed to looking at it as a loss. Mm-hmm. So when I really received that from God, and this is by myself, I'm not telling nobody about this mm-hmm. and my experience and how it's making me feel crazy and going through a quarter life crisis and oh my God, then I didn't turn 25 and I didn't let this go and oh my God and blah, blah, blah. I don't look at myself like I used to. What's going on? It was mm-hmm. me and God.
Yes. Amen.
Okay?
Amen.
It was me and God. And then in 2017, I just was like, I'm gonna wait on you. Not I'm gonna wait on a husband. I'm gonna wait on you.
Yeah.
This is me and God. Yes. I'm gonna wait on you.
Yes.
And I said, I'm going to marry you.
Amen.
So he was my husband. And I was like, I want to get married, but God gonna be my husband. Because I was like, okay, God, if it's in your will for me to have a husband, I will have one. But if it's not, you it.
Okay.
Okay.
Amen.
And I made that commitment to him. And I made that commitment to myself to honor him in that way. Once I came to EKLM is when I officially had real accountability partners. One of my best friends who I've been knowing all my life, we both were going through a transition in our relationship with God that gave us the license to be more transparent and more vulnerable. So, and
hi,
she moved, hey Katie, and she moved back here from Florida at the time. And it was just like God sent her at the perfect time. This is all around 17. She officially moved back. I was in a different place with God. She was as well. And so it was like, okay, now I have my partner to walk in life with. Then she got married. Then God fostered another relationship that was already building once I came here with my friend Sierra. She became one of my other best friends.
Hi, AC.
And she's also single. Mm-hmm. So I have, mind you, all my friends, mm-hmm. all my friends are like, get married on me. So my mm-hmm. other best friend who's in that same place with God that I am mm-hmm. is also single. So God blessed me in that way. And we hold each other up in that. But for the times that I'm struggling with masturbation, with loneliness, the way of escape is real. Mm-hmm. And I want to say this: when you are by yourself and it is just you and don't nobody know whether you are remaining pure or whether you are, you know, slumping a little bit on the defiling side.
Come on now.
When you are in the middle of the act, when you are in the middle of the thought process of I think I might do this, mm-hmm. this seems like a good idea. Okay, my hormones are raging. My members are yelling because your members have an agenda that's in the Bible and the New Testament. You know, my thoughts are going crazy. I'm conjuring up images because you can do that. There will be either a song that comes into your spirit. There will be... Okay, no, not that. There will be a song that comes up in your spirit. It don't mean that you have been listening to gospel all day or all week. You cannot have listened to gospel in 10 years. But something from somewhere that somebody's saying to you about the blood of Jesus will pop up in your head. Okay? If you hear that, stop, listen to it, and turn away from what you was getting ready to do. If you start yawning, that is a way of escape. God is trying to tell you that your body is tired. I'm about to make you sleepy. Listen to the yawn, give into it, and go to sleep. Okay, listen, I'm telling you, or if God starts to say, because there's sometimes where you will hear it, nope, stop. Or if you've been trying for a long time and ain't nothing happening, you can't get off, stop. That's God trying to tell you, I won't let it happen. Amen. Just let it go and stop. The way of escape is real. And those are some of the ways that you can identify that God is giving you a way out to escape from your temptation. It can be before the act. It can be in the middle of the act. You don't have to finish.
Amen.
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 Amen. Well, my story is a whole different ball of wax. Amen. I'm going to go ahead and bring some things from the classified page profile. Amen. I don't think we got a lot of time, but I'm going to keep it brief. I grew up, you know what I'm saying? When I was that old enough to be in the streets, I grew up with the Wolves. And the Wolves, the only thing they talked about was trying to go from thing to thing and, you know, do whatever. And some of them didn't have no chill who they did it with, as long as they can just get theirs, right? So when you grow up in an environment in the streets where they, you know, you following around or you hanging with people and that's all they do, you become a part of that environment, especially when you don't know God. Mm-hmm. So I was brung up in the church. I used to go to church just about every night. They packed us in the Iron Horse and the cab and stuff like that. But when I got out of church, I was back in the streets and the Wolves was out there planting seeds all over the place. So when I grew up, it was like we were always on the hunt. Even by myself, I became a predator. Okay? So I'm looking, you know, and I did get exposed to the pornography in the magazine and some of the stuff. I just didn't have no chill. I didn't have no self-restraint, nothing. I just was out there trying to get it in at any cost. You could be ugly, you could be fine, you could be whatever. As long as you were willing, a willing participant, I was, oh, look how she looking at it like this. You my pastor? Amen. But it's the truth, though. It's the truth. I'm about restraint. You need God. Yes. You need God to come into your life. You need the Holy Spirit's help. Come on now. Yes. I did have a spurt where I was like a couple of years of celibacy before, after getting out of a situation and I met my wife. I did have that success. But all through life, never had success. I don't even think I was looking for, I didn't even know what celibacy was. And you, when you said you was a virgin, and anybody said you were virgin in the hood, man, you a virgin. Man, you better get out here and get what you gonna get. You know what I'm saying? I'm talking about, you know, playing basketball with some cats that was ladies' men. I'm talking about they was, you know, I'll be sitting there and they be lying. I'll be like, you lying. But if I didn't know better, I would believe you. You know what I'm saying? So I hung around with ladies, men, and all that type of stuff. So I never knew what it was like to like keep your purity to yourself. You know what I'm saying? But I could, by having that experience with somebody that's out there that's going through that, you need God in your life. God is the only one that's going to be able to help you and endow you with the power to be able to have self-discipline. And most of the time when we grow up without fathers, that's a whole other thing. When you grow up without fathers, fathers teach you a little bit about, a lot about discipline. They try to discipline you. They try to put you in check and keep you in check because they're trying to plant seeds in you about what they did and what their failures were and try to plant it in you. And that's, I'm trying to do that with my sons. You know what I'm saying? I got some handsome sons, even spiritual sons. So you definitely need spiritual guidance. You need somebody, a safe place where you can talk to a male, you know, and sometimes you may not have a male available, but you need a safe place. Whoever the female that can understand your plight and understand whatever it is, don't limit it to just that, because you need anybody that's full of the Holy Ghost to be able to impart and say something in you and release some destiny out of you, your purpose. Because you recognize your purpose is more than just spreading seed all over the place.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? The wrong ground to cause you 18 years of heartache. Not the baby.
Right.
Not the baby.
Come on now.
Not the baby. The baby had nothing to do with what you did.
That's right.
But what the person that you hooked up with, you knew that you weren't going to be with that person. But you had, well, I don't know if it was an accident. Well, amen. All right, I'm going to get, I'll check it out. Don't get mad at your pastor. It's your pastor, baby.
I want to give the scripture, and then we want to pray. Mm-hmm. I want to go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, and I'm going to read it from the Amplified. I'm starting in verse 3. For this is the will of God, that you should be consecrated, separated, and set apart for pure and holy living, that you should abstain and shrink from all sexual vice, that each one of you should know how to possess, control, manage his own body in consecration, purity, separated from the things profane and honor. not to be used in the passion of lust like the heathen, who are ignorant of the true God and have no knowledge of his will. And this is what I'm going to say. When you know God and when you've allowed Holy Spirit to live in you, he will empower you to be kept. God didn't give you the spirit of fear, but he gave you love, power, and a sound mind. That's what God has given you. He's given you the ability to own your vessel and understand that everything that God has for you is great. And what he desires, how he desires, and the things he desires for you to walk in is for your good. He sees you as valuable. He sees you as worth dying. He sees you as his child, and he loves you. And we just really, as the body of Christ, need to follow the command of God, which is to love. And I'm going to say this again, just like last week. You don't find Eros love in the Bible. What you have is the agape love, which is the unconditional love. You also have phileo love, which is the love, the brotherly love, one towards another. But then you have the agape love, which is God's love, which is unconditional, that simply desires good for everybody. This is the kind of love we have to have in the body of Christ. He says that when we obey the law of love, then we automatically obey the other laws that he set out. You're not going to be trying to run up in everybody or lay down with everybody. You're not going to be trying to hurt anybody. You're not going to be trying to do things that not only cause issues between your brothers and sisters, but also cause a division between you and God. It's too often in the church that we have men running rampant. It's too often in the church we got women running rampant. You have all these things that are not in alignment with the will of God. But what it does, it's not about you being a piranha or you be, but what you're doing is you are just diminishing your worth and who it is and what it is that God purposes for you. Absolutely. Again, he gave his son, died to cleanse you from sin. He sent his Holy Spirit to live in you, to empower you, to give you what you needed to be able to have the authority over this flesh and to be able to reign here on this earth. So part of falling for the missteps that life throws you, it takes you out of alignment with the awesome plans that God has for you. So we just want to encourage you. Again, sex in the right context is beautiful. It's beautiful.
It's great. It's the best.
Celibacy. God will empower you to be able to keep yourself.
Yeah.
Okay? And in the church, we're to be supportive of one of another to help you so that you'll be able to be who it is and what it is God's purpose for you to be. To be able to hold one another accountable and love one another through whatever kind of temptations and issues that we're going through. So I just want to say that. And we're going to pray, and
we're going to let the man of God, Pastor Robert, we want you to pray for the people who are watching, those, you know, just let God use you in a mighty way, and just go ahead, go for it. Amen.
Hallelujah. Let us bow together. Hallelujah. God, right now, it's in the mighty name of Jesus. God, we come before you, God. We just want to thank you, God. God, we thank you, Lord, for being a God that does not leave us alone, God. You are not a God that abandons us. You're not a God that will ever leave us or forsake us, God. But you're a God that is with us even until the ends of the earth, Father. God, we thank you, God, for our testimony, God, for the testimony of victory, God, that's up here on the stage on tonight. Testimonies of victory, God, that are founded, God, in a deep-founded love for you, God, that were founded, God, in an acceptance, God, of your love for us, God. And God, we thank you, Father, that because we are loved by you, God, we are chosen by you, because you live on the inside of us, God, that victory is possible. God, we thank you, Lord God, that you don't even put more on us, God, than we are able to bear. Right now, Lord God, I pray, Father God, that you will help us, God, to recognize the ways of escape. Right now, God, I pray, God, for everybody, God, that just that is dealing with loneliness right now. We bind up the spirit of loneliness in the name of Jesus. And God, and even beyond that, God, I pray, God, that you will create, God, divine connections, Lord. God, that you will create holy relationships, Father. God, begin to link us up, God, with co-laborers, Father God. People, God, that love you. People, God, that will walk with us, God, through this life. God, that will encourage us, that we can be held accountable to. Right now, Father, I pray, God, that you would disrupt any demonic relationships. We pray, we come against any ungodly soul ties right now in the name of Jesus, and we command them to be broken off of you right now in Jesus' name. Any ungodly soul tie, any relationship that you are bound to, that is not from God, that is bringing destruction and death in your life, we sever that connection right now in the name of Jesus, and we declare freedom over you in Jesus' name. We declare strength to get up and walk out of that thing that God did not ordain in the name of Jesus. Right now, Lord, we even come to you with repentance, not repentance of out of guilt, Lord God, but repentance, Lord God, out of safety. It is safe for us to repent to a God that loves us. It is safe for us to run back to a God that will protect us. And right now, God, we repent, God, of anything, God, that we've done, God, that has dishonored our bodies in any capacity, that, God, that has broken our covenant with you. And right now, God, pray, God, Holy Spirit, begin to fill your people and empower your people to live holy, Lord God. Empower them, Lord God, to be able, God, to walk this thing out, God, to be celibate, God, to have discipline over their bodies, to step away from masturbation, to step away from pornography, to step away from fornication and adultery. Hallelujah. Right now, Lord God, I thank you, Father. God, that I pray, God, for a divine disruption, oh God, of any demonic plan, God, that is attached to your people's sexuality right now, Lord God, whether it comes from a childhood trauma, whether it comes from pornography, God, whether it comes from ungodly relationships. I pray for a disruption to go forth right now in Jesus' name, God, that anybody, God, that is struggling, that after this night, they will begin to walk in the path of the victorious, God, that as of right now, they begin to walk in the path, hallelujah, God, of holiness, and they will walk into the place of destiny, God, that they will be able to receive the promise, walk in the promise, and be able to handle the promise in the name of Jesus. Right now, God, hallelujah, I thank you, God. I don't know who Sarah is, but I prophesy over Sarah, that Sarah, God says that he is restoring you. God says that he is anointing you. God says that he is approving you, and God says that he is changing your life, and within the next 6 months, you're going to see change in your life like never before. God, I thank you right now. Hallelujah. God, for all those, God, hallelujah, God, that are reaching out right now, I prophesy over December right now. And I hear the Lord God saying, hallelujah, that in this season of you, I heard God saying that he's not necessarily telling you to tuck tail and run, but God said that he is rebuilding you in the name of Jesus. God says that he is, he's already torn down that former foundation. And you are in a season of rebuilding. I heard God saying that he's building you up stronger, taller, faster, bolder than ever before. Yeah. And that which he is doing in this season of your life is going to catapult you and your children and your family into a future of prosperity and blessing that is going to blow your mind, and is going to leave those around you in awe because they never thought that it could be you. But God is saying, yes, I am saying now that it's you. I'm calling you forth by name, saith the Lord. Right now, God, I just thank you, Father God, for being a way maker, a healer. And right now, Lord God, we just come in agreement with you, God. We say, God, whatever you say is right. And if you said we can do it, we can do it. Yeah. And if you said it's for us, then it's for us. And if you promise it to us, God, we receive it. And this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen.
This has been the Pages Speak. If anybody out there tonight, I want you to share this broadcast. Share with somebody. Love on somebody. Love somebody enough to share this with them, to let them know that God is able to love you through whatever it is, what come what may. And God is able to deliver you. This has been the Page to Speak.
With.
What's your name, girl?
Oh, I got
to
do all that.
Tamara. Amen.
Rob.
Pastor Rob. Minister Tamara.
Brittany.
And Brittany. Minister Mick. Brittany. and Pastor Stephanie Page. Come on, from the Page to Speak. Come on now.
We love you.
When you finally get the right thing, baby, it ain't nothing like it. Come on, somebody.
We love you.
Amen. We love you.
Good night.